Hey Harrison, I've got a question for you.
Yeah, what's up?
Who are you gonna call?
Well, I need to call my mom. I should probably call Santa Claus to tell him about what I want for Christmas. But for this week, I think I'm gonna call the Ghostbusters.
What's up, and welcome back to another episode of The Heralds. We are your heralds of pop culture. I'm Will Wiggy.
And I'm Harrison.
Today, we are going to be getting into Ghostbusters Afterlife. But before that, we got our news. Gotta love that news.
I love news.
New, you really had to correct yourself.
I did. I stopped myself because the children may be listening.
So for DC, League of the Super Pets, the animated movie coming out, revealed John Krasinski's role to be Clark Kent, aka Superman.
Yeah, there was a little trailer that just came out.
Yeah, but that's for like when we record Friday or Saturday's news.
Oh, it's so like, what am I allowed to talk about?
Oh, I got tons of stuff.
So I can't talk about that Jurassic World thing that came out?
Well, no, because I still need to watch it.
Okay.
But for Marvel, we got quite a bit.
Yeah, well, there is a new TV show coming out for us in like 12 hours.
I know.
It's exciting.
But first, Disney Plus Daredevil project is most likely in the works.
Yes. And this could not get us. I'm talking for both of us. I'm assuming you're excited about it too. I could not be more excited about this news.
Oh, I'm hyped. My question is, will you be okay if they choose to go a different direction than Charlie Cox?
You mean like actor-wise?
Yes. Not saying they will, but if they choose to do so, as long as it's a good Ginger actor, would you be okay with it?
I mean, if you're asking my opinion on it, and my opinion would be I wouldn't be okay with it, but would I be happy with it that we're seeing Daredevil back in the MCU? Yes, I would either way. But if you want most happy version of me, it would be Charlie Cox reprising his role. But then again,
Yeah.
like no matter what, if Daredevil's back in the MCU, I'm all for it. He's my favorite Marvel character.
Well, if he's back and done justice, of course.
Right. If he's back and done justice, I mean. The rumors for the longest time were his appearance in No Way Home. It seems more and more likely as stuff goes on that he will be, and especially now with this Daredevil project being announced, it does seem like they're shuffling him back into
Well,
the
not
MCU.
technically announced, but
Right.
it's a very, very strong
And
lead.
with his announcement, or with his rumors of appearing in the Echo TV show that was recently announced, like last week or 2 weeks ago, whenever Echo was announced, there's heavy rumors that
Echo
him.
was announced last year. They just gave us the logo at Disney Plus Day.
I didn't think it was announced. I thought it was rumored. Same with the Agatha thing. I thought I filed that into the same, like, Agatha and Echo were, like, rumored to get their own shows, but this was them
Disney
announced.
Investor Day last year, they gave us Echo.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, okay. And then, of course, we'll find out in the next few weeks if the rumors are true about Kingpin showing up in Hawkeye.
Yeah. Which I'm not sure. I mean, I don't know the story well, but it seems it's definitely following My Life as a Weapon. And I don't recall Kingpin in it, but they
No.
do have the tracksuit Draculas, which is nice.
Yeah. Everyone's just rumored that like who's running the tracksuit mafia is Kingpin. Though that those guys don't seem like they'd work for Kingpin. But I don't know. I'd be okay if they do something new, but it would be a cool way since they are Hawkeye as part of a street level Avenger sort of thing. It would be a good way to bring Daredevil back in with that.
Now, help me recall. Did Hammerhead kind of run them in the Spider-Man DLC?
Did
Did they
who?
deal with the tracksuit Draculas or no?
In the Spider-Man DLC?
Yeah.
Hammerhead. I watched the Hammerhead DLC with Black Cat. I know what you're talking about. I think Hammerhead led him, yeah.
That's what I thought. So, to next up is the MCU T'Challa will never be recast. They will just be moving on story-wise.
Yeah, what did the director, was it like an executive of Marvel announced that or something?
Well, whatever you call Kevin Feige.
Oh, it was Kevin Feige, so the president of Marvel. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I that was something we all assumed. I mean, literally worst case scenario in my opinion is if they actually tried to like digitally insert him into the movie. I think that would literally be the worst thing they could possibly do.
And they're refusing. They're saying his story's over with Chadwick. Right. And they will be moving on to new ground.
And it's a
shame. In the comics, there were a few Black Panthers afterwards. Yeah. I believe Shuri and Okoye were two of them.
Right. I mean,
Shuri and Nakia.
Black Panther is, you know, you and I and Geller and a lot of people really don't like the idea of mantle heroes, but Black Panther is actually one of those heroes that is supposed to be a mantle.
Well, yeah, it runs in the family, right?
So it makes, like, I don't think we're all going to complain. Like, yeah, I mean, T'Challa is Black Panther for as long as he's around. And now that he sadly is no longer around, someone has to take up the mantle because it's a tradition.
Yeah, now, I mean, that's the whole point of him is he got it from his dad.
Mm-hmm. And I think
he got it from his father and their father and all of that.
I mean, there's a lot of people we've thrown around. I think almost the coolest idea would be to just have multiple people pick it up throughout the movie, maybe. I don't know. I mean, Shuri would be the easiest answer.
Yeah.
But then, you know, I think M'Baku would do a cool take on him. I don't know. That one guy, what is it, Martin Short? He could do him. Or
No, Martin Short is the comedian. This is... Oh my goodness, it's Bilbo.
It's Bill, yeah, he could, you know.
Martin Short is Jack Frost in Santa Claus 3.
Yeah, I think you're right, yeah. But yeah, I think that a cool thing, but...
Martin Freeman,
there you go. It is a shame because they are incorporating the X-Men soon, and of course I've always wanted to see that power couple of Storm and T'Challa on the big screen together. That'd be so cool to see.
But...
Yeah, you know, it's...
Things happen.
Yeah, I mean, imagine if, like... You know, I don't want to I just want to imagine if in the middle of, like, the X-Men movies, Hugh Jackman passed away. Like, what do you do? That's such a tough situation.
Yeah. Now, you know me, though, for the MCU, I want a new Wolverine.
No,
Hugh Jackman had a great run.
Right. It's just, this is literally in the middle of Chadwick Boseman's T'Challa story arc. He sadly passes away. It's like, shoot, I'm sure they had so many plans.
For real. Now, here's the big kahuna.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, kahuna.
Spider-Man No Way Home trailer.
Oh, yes, we get to talk about it this week.
We do.
Yeah.
It came out this week.
That is true. It came out almost a week ago. Oh, there's theaters packed with people talking about this.
I just want to point out, imagine paying to go watch a movie trailer in a theater, no matter what trailer.
Dude, there was not just that, but those people in that theater I know, like, didn't live in L.A., so they flew out just for that.
Why?
I don't know. I'm like,
you can watch it on YouTube. Why? I'm like,
it's 2 minutes.
For real. You're not watching the dang movie.
Yeah.
You're not getting some advanced screening.
I think after the trailer aired, Tom Holland came out in that theater that everyone was packed in and, like,
it did become a Q&A, yes.
Yeah.
Which would have been nice. I mean, I would have appreciated that for sure.
Didn't they say that it was going to be Tom with a special guest?
I think the guest was Feige.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, Feige's cool.
Feige was next to him.
Okay. Well, Kevin Feige in itself, that's cool. I guess that's not too disappointing, but I was, you know, of course.
I consider that still a special guest.
Yeah, no, me too. He was probably there so Tom wouldn't accidentally spoil anything. You know, he's like his babysitter.
He's the home monitor.
Yeah. Like, you know, every single time he's going to answer someone's question, he has to whisper his response into Kevin's ear, and Kevin pats him on the shoulder and says, "You can say that, Tom."
You can say
What did you think?
Break it down. It starts out with what again?
How it starts off. It starts out with a real sad Peter Parker talking about how, the only week in his life that felt normal was when he told MJ.
Yeah.
And then Doctor Strange kind of
read the cool. Well, wait, they do the cool swinging in the subway scene.
Yeah, which is the first time we get to see MCU Spider-Man swinging through New York. Thank you.
Second, kind of, because
the
we
little
got
fight
to see it a little bit when they revealed.
In Infinity War, there was that.
I'm thinking about Far From Home, right, when he hits Times Square?
Right.
To learn that, yeah.
That's like the same, I'm guessing that's the same day, right?
I'd assume so.
And then we get Doctor Strange kind of rudely passing the blame on to Peter, saying, "When you botched that spell." And I'm like, "You mean we? Because you definitely had a hand in that, Doc."
Well, in the first trailer, he said, "Don't say anything, stay calm, or this spell won't work."
Right, but, like, Peter just...
And Peter would not shut up.
I just think, you know, like, when you botched that spell, it should have been like, "Hey, when we messed up." I don't know.
Yeah.
He's Mephisto. What? I didn't say that. What?
What? And then Spidey tries to steal that weird orb thing.
Yeah, which...
Or box. I mean,
if you want to go into minor spoilers, because we know what that is.
What is it?
I mean, minor spoilers if you don't want to know anything about the movie, because they didn't reveal it in the trailer, but, like, there's plot leaks and stuff that I'm going to count, because Asher tells me I don't give you enough guys enough time. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. It's the prison where they keeping all the multiverse villains. Like, inside, that is where they're being held. Like, they're trapped in there.
Huh.
Yeah, that's why Peter's trying to go after it, because he wants to set them free, because, you know, when Doctor Strange, a big point in the we'll get into all the Sinister Six look reveals, because that was Sinister Five, yeah. But Doc Strange is like, they're destined to all die fighting Spider-Man in their worlds, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's why Peter's trying to get the box, because he's like, he wants to set them free, because he doesn't want to send them back to their worlds just to die.
Yeah.
But I'd like to point out, Sandman didn't die, Lizard didn't die, but maybe in their universes they go on to fight Peter later in their universe and they end up dying, and that we just haven't seen.
Because Kurt Connors was imprisoned, and Sandman drifted off into the wind.
Right. People have said, like, well, maybe, you know, years from that, like, they fight again and they die, but I'm like, that'd be weird. I couldn't see Toby fighting Sandman again and killing him unless he just turns stupidly evil later on. I don't know.
I could see an accidental.
That's true. But, yeah, the biggest thing, if you want to talk about the trailers, is things we did not see, which is we did not see Toby and Andrew.
No, we didn't. And once again, I'm glad. I think it should be saved for the movie and not the trailers.
Yeah. I mean, did you hear the rumor about Sony?
No.
That, like, Sony really wanted to put him in the trailer. Like, they were this close. Oh. And Marvel was like, nope.
Yeah.
You know, because, like, if it was just Sony, they totally would have shown it.
Yeah.
So
we know the big thing. Oh, go ahead.
No, yeah. Start talking about the Sinister Six members that we got to see.
The big thing we saw first was Dr. Octopus again, as he pins Peter, and Peter unmasks himself, and he says, wait, you're not Peter. Implying, you know, it's not his Peter. And it looks like Dr. Octopus will team up with them.
Yeah, at least for a little bit, definitely, because he gets the, I don't know if this bleeds into it, but he gets the nanotech infused into his arms.
Yeah.
So maybe Karen, the AI Karen, takes over the AI of the arms?
I don't know if it's going to be Karen or the other one.
Friday?
Edith.
Oh, right. Yeah. I like Karen.
Karen. She was fun. She's
voiced by, what's her name from Incredible Hulk? Liv Tyler?
No, she's Jennifer Connelly.
Isn't it one of the
it's
Betty?
It's Paul Bettany's wife.
Yeah, but didn't she play, not Betty Brand, didn't she play Betty Ross in one of the Hulk movies?
I think the Eric Bana one.
Yeah, okay. That
the 2004.
I knew she played in one Marvel movie before, but yeah.
Yeah, Jennifer Connelly was Betty Ross.
Okay. But yeah, because they do the Doc Ock joke when they imprison him. Little ha-ha funny.
I didn't like that.
I didn't either.
That was kind of cringy.
There was only one other joke in there that was worse.
What one?
The Scooby-Doo this crap really just was bad.
Yeah, I don't think he's seen Scooby-Doo.
No, I know. And, like, it was literally like they paused in the trailer for you to laugh. It was just really silent and awkward.
I make joke, laugh, all you hear is crickets.
Yeah, I was like, is that all you got? I don't know. I honestly hope Doc Strange isn't in the movie too much.
I hope it's literally maybe two scenes.
Yeah, because, like, A, he could take care of these Sinister Five villains in, like, 5 seconds by himself.
Why do you say five? I'm missing the count.
Okay. In theory, I know you're going to say that Doc Ock might turn good. And he might, you're right. But Doc Ock, Goblin, Electro, Sandman, Lizard.
It's like five?
Yeah, there's the rumor is they're not going to do six in this movie, which would be weird, but the rumor is they won't, because they want to set up the Sinister Six in, like, the Sony-verse for, like, Kraven and Venom and Morbius.
Mm-hmm.
So the theory is they're holding off.
Give me seven, just like the cartoon.
You're right. Yeah.
The Insidious Seven.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, in the Universal ride, but I think there's five on the Universal ride.
Oh, I don't remember. You know, I don't.
Yeah, God, I think I can remember. On the Universal ride, there's Doc Ock, Hobgoblin, Hydro Man,
Toxin.
Scream.
Screams.
Yes, and then Electro. So yeah, it's only five in the Universal ride. I think they're called like I think they call themselves the Crime Syndicate. Obviously not DC's Crime Syndicate, but I think that's what they go by on the ride.
It's a fun ride. Definitely one of the best at Universal.
Yeah, I really hope they don't have to scrap it because of Disney.
I don't think they will. And oh, sitting in the Fantastic Car was a dream.
Yeah. Yeah, and all the characters. Well, I mean, like, there's really cool characters I hear now at Disney.
Oh, yeah.
Campus, but at the time
I think when I went it was Wolverine and Storm were out for pictures and Rogue.
Yeah, I definitely had some of the X-Men. I had like a really cool Green Goblin looking guy.
Ooh.
Yeah. Speaking of which, you want to talk about the Green Goblin's look in the trailer?
Which one?
That is true. Do the first one, the classic look.
We do get to see the classic Raimi Goblin look, but later on we get to see kind of a look where he's got goggles and a green hood, and he's basically helmetless, Raimi look, with a purple cloak going on. Sorry, not green hood. He's got a purple cloak, a bag, just like he used to have, and his goggles.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember if he was wearing new boots or not, but...
It was definitely the leaked pictures that we saw Jake Paul-looking stunt double wearing.
Remember? He did look a lot like Jake Paul.
It looked like Jake Paul, but, you know, that was definitely the leaked look that we got a few weeks ago. That's what he was wearing.
Yeah.
Of course, like, half of people on the internet are saying, oh, it's Dane DeHaan or James Franco. It's not.
Spider-Man No Way Home, second Green Goblin?
They have confirmed that they are de-aging Willem Dafoe like they did to Alfred Molina. They have confirmed that they will de-age him.
They de-aged Molina? God, I can't even tell.
Yeah, yeah. Honestly, I don't think you need to de-age Dafoe, because I think he looks the same that he did 20 years ago.
I agree.
But they did confirm that, because people are like, well, he looks too young to be Dafoe if you zoom in on the blurry face. I'm like, they de-aged him so he could look the same age as he did 20 years ago.
But, my thing wasn't even young. I thought it was just a different face shape.
That's true. It would be really weird, though, wouldn't it? Because to do two different goblins, and we hear Dafoe's voice later in the trailer, and I really want him to be the main villain of the movie, because he's definitely the most evil.
He is. We've got the new integrated suit, as they're calling it, which is the black and gold magical Spider-Man suit. And then you have the multiverse is open. More are coming.
Oh, yeah, and we got Lizard kicked by nothing.
Yeah, well, that Brazil did. That Brazil, was not in the United States trailer, Asher noticed.
Brazil accidentally left a few, I don't know what you, shots. Yeah, like, not even scenes, like, frames that they weren't supposed to.
Yeah. So, my question to you is, I know everyone expects Toby and Andrew, because a lot of it's hinting towards so.
Right.
Would you be disappointed if they gave you instead, like, a Spider-Man Noir, Punk Spider-Man, Spider UK, type of Spider-Verse?
Yeah, because that can be saved for a whole different kind of Spider-Verse movie, in my opinion. That can be like Spider-Genon. I can't say it.
That's kind of what I want, though, is them.
But, like, we're getting that in the animated version. Like, if this makes the most sense, like, for a live-action Spider-Verse, this makes the most sense to do Toby and Andrew.
Then I want Nicholas Hammond.
I agree. If we're going to go, you got to get him too. I don't know. I think someone interviewed him recently and he said he's sad they didn't approach him.
Yeah. Oh, they should have. It's a missed chance.
Yeah. He played the little
kid. Where's Spidey Tokyo?
He played the little kid in Sound of Music.
God, he's that old?
Yeah. But we got to see new sexy. Well, he's always been sexy, but new look for Jamie Foxx, Electro.
Yes, and if that is an arc reactor, not something else, I will be kind of salty.
It's definitely an arc reactor. Someone zoomed in on it. It's the triangle arc reactor, so it's like the version he wore in his Mark V suit.
Ugh.
Yeah, but we obviously have a popular reoccurring member on the show that really hates when they used Arc Tech for everything. Geller.
Yeah.
Lizard kind of had a new look, but he looked the same, which I'm okay with, even though
he almost looked like he was more developed. That was really it.
It looks more reptilian.
Yes. Back to Nicholas Hammond real quick.
Yes.
The man is still acting.
You know what? Maybe a
He was in he was in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood still acting.
Oh, I saw that movie. I don't know why I didn't pick up on him.
Is Sam Wanamaker?
Huh. He's got to be old. He's got to be like 60, 70, right?
He is currently... Well, he was born in 1950 and he looks great.
He does look great. So he's like 70, almost.
Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, I'm like... Toby and Andrew are everything but shown. They're rumored, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I think it's great that they didn't show them. If they are in the movie, like we're all basically assuming, I think it's great they didn't show them.
So my hype meter's definitely gone up a little bit, mm-hmm. but I'm still, like, cautious.
It's going to be hard to pull it off, right? How do you live up to these expectations?
You can't, because fans did what they do worst. And came up with their own scenarios on how this movie's going to go. And if you don't live up to that, well, what do you do?
I mean, like we're all hoping, I don't want it to be a cameo fest.
Me neither.
Like, this should be primarily the end of Tom Holland's, like, three trilogy. Like, I'm sure he'll get another trilogy, but, like, this should close off his three-movie arc.
Well, that's a great segue into our next part.
Oh, him talking about... Okay, yeah, I know what you mean.
Since Tom Holland throws out the idea of stepping aside for a Miles Morales trilogy, maybe it is time for me to move on. Maybe that's what's best for Spider-Man. Maybe what's best for Spider-Man is that they do a Miles Morales film. If I'm still playing Spider-Man after I'm 30, I've done something wrong.
Okay, he's like 26 right now, so that would literally leave us like 1 to 2 more Spider-Man movies with him.
He's 23.
He's really 23? Are you sure? He's been 23
for... He's between me and Sage.
Okay. Listen, he's under the impression that Spider-Man is only Spider-Man in high school. He doesn't realize...
Right, he's 25. He's a little older.
He doesn't realize that Spider-Man is Spider-Man, like, into his adulthood. Like, he thinks it'd be weird if Spider-Man's still around. No, he's always Spider-Man.
I think he doesn't want to hog the role.
But there can be a universe where they're both, right?
Yeah.
Like the PS4 games.
But would you feel fatigued?
I would like the next Spider-Man trilogy to be him in college, and you can integrate, like, introducing Miles during that trilogy, similar to how they do it in the PS4 games.
I want classic Miles story where Peter dies.
Okay, I was gonna say...
I'm tired of this Peter-Miles team-up stuff.
I like Peter being the Spider-Man of, like, Manhattan, and, like... Miles being the Spider-Man of Harlem or Brooklyn or wherever he ends up, because he's originally from Brooklyn, but they moved him to Harlem in the game.
Spidey is Queens.
Well, yeah, he grew up in Queens, but he fights in Manhattan, you know, because the Empire State Building's always there.
Midtown.
Yeah, Queens isn't really much of a city. I've been there a lot. It's just for the Mets. Love the Mets. That's where the Mets play. Love the Mets, baby.
Oh, Mets. I think it's very... what's the word I'm looking for? Not noble, not honor.
About time to get humble. Humble of
Tom. I think it's very humble of him to do that.
Yeah. Miles is a great character. I mean, we've all seen Into the Spider-Verse.
Miles is a great character when done right in two separate forms of media.
Yeah. You're talking about the Ultimate Universe where he was originally introduced, which was in the universe.
Still don't like his comics today.
Okay. He's, like, basically he's taken up the role at, because, like, Peter's, like, a dad now in the comics. So Miles is, like, this teenage Spider-Man that we all know and love right now in the comics. Yeah.
It's not that I dislike Miles. I just don't feel like they're well-written.
I agree. Something with Miles that I've always been torn about. So, like, the only great Miles villain, and I know you're going to one-up me with this because I'm sure there's more that I'm not thinking, but it's obviously the Prowler. Like, that's the one great Miles villain. Like,
yeah, no, there's no other good villains.
Do you give Miles Peter's villains, or do you – I don't know.
In the comics, he is a mixture.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, they've already –
focus on Prowler.
Yeah, right.
Maybe,
Tombstone would be cool.
Yeah. Do Tombstone, Prowler, make them more street level. Give them more of the mob bosses.
Yeah,
Hammerhead, stuff like that.
If he's going to be the villain, the Spider-Man to fight Kraven, I think Kraven would be a good first villain for him.
Yeah.
Very humble, like you said. I'd love to see Miles done right, like you said. He's gonna happen soon. I mean, he's becoming so popular.
If they go with a 14-year-old, 12 to 14-year-old, like they should.
Right.
I could see that new podcast kid from Ghostbusters being Gonke.
Gonke, yeah, I agree with you. He's good.
Question though.
Yeah, hit me.
If they do, sorry, it's Genki, not Gonke. Okay, if they do Genki, would it just feel too much like Ned?
No, because like
did they ruin their shot?
I agree with you because like Ned is literally Genki in everything but name.
Yeah.
And I think that's what they were going for, honestly. Like,
which they obviously knew they wanted Miles down the road, so I don't know why they would have.
We could talk about the stuff where we recently saw the actor that plays Ned was in a bunch of like CG stuff or makeup and prosthetics. Did you see that?
Yeah.
I don't know. Hobgoblin.
Yeah, it could be literally anything. He could literally be affected by the multiverse stuff. You don't know.
We've all talked about how it'd be impossible to see this version of Ned be Hobgoblin.
Plus, I like Roderick Kingsley more anyway.
I agree with you. Literally, though, I could so easily see Ned in this movie be like, by the way, I'm Ned Leeds Jr. This is my dad, Ned Leeds Sr. Hobgoblin.
Oh.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, would that be too way too similar to Harry? And yeah, probably.
Oh, no, as long as he doesn't despise his dad.
That's true. But like you said, I like Roger Kingsley more because he's a fashion designer.
Kill it, girl.
Exactly. And Hobgoblin's one of my favorite Spider-Man villains, but that's off the point.
One of? I thought he was your favorite.
I just like the goblins. I can't say Green's better than Hob. I don't know. I like him the same.
I've always known you to be the Hobgoblin guy, so huh?
Proto Goblin, he's cool.
What'd you think of that Hobgoblin design in a Shattered Dimensions video game? 2099 over here?
Oh, I liked it.
That was cool.
Yeah, it was cool.
Moving on, because we could talk about Spider-Man all day.
I'd love to. I think we should do a Spider-Man episode in the near future. Like, bring on Geller and Asher again. We can talk about...
The Road to No Way Home?
Yeah.
I agree. Let's move on. Scarlett Johansson is producing a mystery Marvel project that is completely unrelated to Black Widow.
I was really hoping for a... What's, like, the Russian Avengers team?
Red Guard.
Is it Red Guard?
Winter Guard.
Winter Guard. I think that'd be really cool if she was working on...
Yes. Give me Darkstar. Give me Ursa. I mean, Ursa Major was already in Black Widow.
Yeah, he was the arm wrestling guy.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then we have Delroy Lindo is in final talks to join Mahershala Ali in Blade.
Oh, yeah. I heard about that. Any
role for him that makes the most sense to me is Jamal Afari, Blade's mentor.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say him, or I was trying to think of one of Blade's classic villains. But that actor's an older actor, right? So it makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. He's probably his mentor character. Do you think they're going to give him the Blade of the movies where he has all those vampire powers? Or is he just going to be powerless vampire hunter?
Eternals, remember?
We just heard his voice.
He said, you don't want to touch that blade.
Yeah.
I've got some experience with it.
Right. So, but like, do you think he'll have powers? So like...
From that blade, yes.
In the comics, before the... Blade movie with what's his name? Who played Blade in the 90s?
Snipes.
Yeah, Wesley Snipes. Okay, before the Wesley Snipes movie, Blade was just a vampire hunter with a sword, and his only power was he couldn't get turned into a vampire. He was, like, immune. But then when the movie came out in the 90s, he also had super strength and speed and all the powers a vampire does because he got bit by Michael Morbius, and that's how they changed his origin in the comics. Now he gets bit by Michael Morbius, and he gets all the vampire powers. So do you think he'll have all the vampire powers?
Hey, buddy.
Yeah.
He kind of had him from the get-go.
No.
Because his mother was half vampire. His mother was a vampire.
His mother was bitten by a vampire, and that gave him the ability not to become a vampire.
Oh.
he was powerless in the, like, he was just a bounty hunter, really, in the comics before the Wesley Snipes movie, I promise you.
I'm reading it right now, yep.
So I wonder if he'll have all the vampire, like, if maybe Jared Leto will come in and bite him.
Good God. He was raised in a brothel.
Like in the comics or
yeah.
Mahershala Ali. Okay.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's that part of his origin.
So yeah, we have, I could see him being Jamal Afari, but it could be anybody still.
Mm-hmm. Love street level.
But I think adding Delroy Lindo to the MCU as part of Blade's stuff is a really neat idea.
I would love
him. I love Delroy.
I would love Blade to show up in Moon Knight.
That'd be cool.
We could get that
into that Midnight Suns.
We could get that classic Moon Knight storms into Dracula's castle.
Where he yells, random bullcrap, go!
Moon Knight's like, hey, Dracula, you big dumb idiot or whatever, where's my effing money?
If he doesn't have those jokes in this show, this is the one character their corny jokes work with was for stupid reasons.
Yeah. Geller said, like, during that comic where he does that, like, throughout the whole thing, he keeps calling Avengers Tower and saying, where's my effing money? And they're like, Moon Knight, we don't have, like, they're like, you're insane. Please stop calling us.
I cannot wait to see Oscar Isaac do that.
Yeah.
It's going to be so great. So, next we have Star Wars news.
Ooh, okay. Oh, is this the Patty Jenkins?
There's a couple things.
Okay.
So there's a current rumor flying around in the rumor mill that Rogue Squadron was delayed due to creative differences between Patty Jenkins and Lucasfilm. How much do you believe that?
Well, Star Wars, Kathleen Kennedy, has a history of firing directors like it's going out of style.
Yes.
It's weird because, like, if you remember, I think it was at, like, the Disney announcement or investors, whatever.
Investor.
The investor day last year, Patty Jenkins had, like, this whole, like, she was standing behind an X-Wing. She was all, like, giving a speech about her grandpa during World War II or I.
Wore the pilot helmet.
Yeah. Like, she was like, we're working on this. And I'm like, wow. I'm like, this is, like, going to be the next Star Wars project. And now it's not canceled, like you said. It's just pushed back. Maybe.
Indefinite delay, as they call it.
Delay. And creative differences, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Seems all too odd to believe completely.
Yeah, maybe it was because Wonder Woman 84 was bad. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. That was
possible.
It's not funny. I think it's because, like I said, there's probably such a system at Disney now that they're like... Like, I'm sure Patty Jenkins is like, I'd like to do this. And then the Disney board or Star Wars board members are like, well, you can't do that. And, like, I bet it's so because of Rian Johnson and Last Jedi. They're so afraid to try anything interesting right now.
I don't know. Star Wars is in a rut, but it's also not over, you know?
Yeah, well, it's like.
They're still releasing good content.
Yeah, they're kind of letting the movies rest in that whole saga and just trying to do some, expanding some TV show stuff.
Yes.
Which
other than that, we have Natasha Liu Bordizzo has been cast as Sabine Wren in Ahsoka.
I saw that. Well, at least I saw the picture of what she looked like. Yeah, it's great casting.
Sabine's one of my favorite Mandalorians.
Yeah, there's a video on, you know who Cosmonaut Variety Hour is?
You know I do.
Okay. He talks about how, like, Hera's a better character, female protagonist than Sabine.
She is. I just enjoy Sabine more.
Yo, Sabine's a total BA because she's, like, the coolest in everything.
Yeah. But...
Was that for the Ahsoka TV show?
Yeah.
This very much now seems like it's going to be a Rebels reunion.
Except for we still don't have our Ezra Bridger casting.
It so should be the guy from Aladdin.
You know why I don't want that.
I want that so bad.
I don't like him as an actor. I don't think he's that good.
He's so charismatic and charming.
I got none of that from him.
He had a little twinkle in his eye.
I could see the twinkle. I just did not find him charismatic. Or I don't think he brought the movie alive like he could have.
No, that's fair. I mean, there's a reason he hasn't been cast in anything since, I guess, because you're not the only one that has that opinion.
Yeah. Then we have for Disney, the Rescue Rangers synopsis was revealed.
This is your cup of tea.
It's been years since the end of Rescue Rangers, and Chip and Dale are currently living a life of mediocrity in a world where humans and cartoons live together. After they already framed Roger Rabbit. No, I'm kidding. Meanwhile, traditionally animated characters are doing their best to live in this world of remakes and reboots with realistic computer graphics. Now, Chip and Dale must renew their partnership to save a friend from a fate worse than death. Piracy.
This seems like it's going too meta.
It's going to be so meta, it's going to fall flat on its face.
Yeah, it kind of seems like with the whole cartoons and people living together like the Tom and Jerry or the Who Framed Roger Rabbit joke that you made, that was pretty good. I didn't say anything, but that was a good joke, Will.
Thank you. I was excited, but I thought it'd be the CG fun animated movie, and it's this. Personally, I prefer Disney Afternoonverse, that CG animation, and sticks in that realm.
Yeah, but the voice cast is still really talented, so that part will be entertaining.
Jorma Taccone and Andy Samberg and John Mulaney and
I don't know.
Sorry, not Jorma. Akiva Schaferman is making the movie. John Mulaney and Andy Samberg are the voices.
This is coming to Disney Plus next year, right?
I don't know if it's Plus or theaters, but I'm assuming Plus.
Okay. I don't know.
Yeah, it is. It's Disney Plus today.
Okay. You'll be the one to watch it, and you'll tell me if it's any good, and then I'll watch it. Deal?
I will.
Okay.
The Turning Red trailer.
Oh, yeah. Did we not talk about that last week?
It came out this week.
Oh, okay.
What do we think?
There was a trailer to this previous, but it was a real short little tiny teaser.
Yeah, but this was a full trailer.
Yeah, I thought it was really cute. I thought it was cool.
That's honestly how I feel. It's very cute. Mm-hmm. Looks like it'll be a very fun little new take on the Hulk.
I like the animation style quite a lot.
Same. And you know I love me some red pandas.
I love
my favorite animal.
Ah, love to go see them at the zoo growing up.
My favorites.
Yeah.
To see. Would love to own one, but I can't because it's illegal and they're endangered.
I was going
to
say, they're quite the exotic animal.
They are.
I mean, pandas.
Maybe when I'm rich, I'll own a red panda sanctuary and help breed them.
Pandas are quite rare on themselves, make them red. Though, hear me out, I could get you a raccoon and I could spray paint it.
Sounds great. Declaw it first.
I'll declaw it. I'll make sure it doesn't have rabies. And I'll like dye it, so even if you wash it, it won't come out, so it'll permanently look like a red panda.
Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
So this is your cup of tea.
Oh, sweet. I love tea.
The Halo TV series teaser trailer came out.
Yeah. Yes, it did. The same week that Halo Infinite came out. Woot. Been playing that.
Is it free?
Yeah. Well, the multiplayer is the only thing that hasn't come out. That has come out. That is free. The multiplayer is free. The campaign will come out in 2 weeks, and that will cost you money. But the multiplayer, that is free.
We have enough room. I might try and download the... Oh, wait, our internet sucks anyway.
Well, it's only like 15 gigs, so yeah, it's not too many gigabytes.
Well, no, we have our issue where internet works great on everything but our Xbox, so we think our Xbox is the issue.
Yep.
But it's also old.
Oh, yeah, I just got the new Xbox a few months ago.
We're saving up.
Yeah, I bought the cheaper one, the $300 one, so the $500 one, mostly because the $500 one is impossible to find.
I was told it was 200 now.
Oh, maybe. I don't know. I got mine over the summer. I didn't get it. My friend Camden found it for me, grabbed it. I paid him back because we had been searching forever. Because like I said, these things are possible to find.
Forget even trying to get a PlayStation.
Yeah, PlayStation would be fun. But you know me, as much as I want to play Spider-Man, Halo is my cup of tea. Like you just said, with the TV show teaser that dropped that we're getting a show on Paramount Plus, which now that means I'm going to have to get Paramount Plus.
You can borrow mine.
I'm gonna borrow your password so I can watch the show and we can talk about it because I'd love to, even though it would probably suck.
I don't know. I really dig Pablo Schreiber.
Oh, yeah. No, I definitely think a TV show is a better way to approach it than a movie, even though a movie
would have
a bigger budget. They would try to cram everything into a movie, and now, like, a TV show, they won't feel crammed, and they're going to space it out, and that's great, because there's so much lore, and I could talk about it so long, because I think it has the best lore.
I'll watch it too, so I can talk with you.
Yeah, and Master Chief is just like, you know, if God put on armor, and that's great.
If God put on armor. You don't like this, though.
What?
Do you know who's playing Cortana?
Who's playing Cortana?
That she's been doing Cortana for years.
Oh, she's going to voice her still? That's fantastic. That's great.
They never changed the actress.
I love Cortana's assets. Wink. No. I love classic Cortana. I don't like what they're doing with her right now in the games. I think what they're doing right now with her in the games is terrible.
So wasn't this teaser just him suiting up?
Yep. And the suit looks great. It was...
If you jack it up after seeing how many fan films did it right, you'd be in a crapshoot.
It's true. It's the Mark II armor, which is great because the Mark IV Spartan armor is terrible in my opinion. So much so that they went back to the Mark II Spartan armor for the new Halo game that's coming out in like 2 weeks, like I said. The classic. Nice. Yeah, the classic.
Question. One. I've heard the name.
Yeah.
But I'm blanking on who the character is.
Okay.
Sorin 066.
I was going to say part of Blue Team, but they're not. Is that a new character? Because that's not a classic Halo character. It might be a new one.
I am looking it up.
I don't know. They have to do Blue Team in the show because that's classic. I wonder if they're going to do like the early Halo stuff for this newer. They should do the early stuff because the early stuff's so much more interesting. Blue Team. Oh, you got to do the Arbiter. God, I hope they bring back the guy that voices the Arbiter in the games. The Flood.
Sorin looking like he... Was voice Sorin Raske?
Commander Lasky?
R? It starts with an R?
I don't know. I thought you said Lasky.
Born Sorin Erickson.
Okay.
A.K.A. Sorin Rask or Raske.
This seems like a new character.
Well, he's being played by... Nope, I'm looking at video game stuff.
Huh. Oh, who's voicing Chief? Is it the guy that voices him in the games?
No, Pablo Schreiber.
Oh, okay.
Either way, Sorin is Bokeem Woodbine.
Hmm.
I'm an actual... Shocker from MCU.
Yeah, he's also, speaking of which, he'll, unless it's Shocker 1 or 2, but he's in Ghostbusters Afterlife, the guy that plays the second Shocker.
Yeah.
Okay.
Shocker 2.
Shocker 2, Electric Boogaloo. Okay, cool.
So next, kind of out of nowhere, Fraggle Rock, Back to the Rock will be airing on January 21st on Apple TV.
What will? I'm sorry, I missed that.
Fraggle Rock, Back to the Rock, a Jim Henson creation.
Okay, that, I thought you said that, but I was like, that doesn't sound like English.
It's not.
Okay, cool. But Jim, what was his name? I should know.
Henson, Muppets, all that?
Yeah, I was going to say that. That's he's
Fraggle Rock was another big 80s property.
Okay. Okay, cool. And then Apple TV. I do not have that one.
Me neither.
Okay, cool.
Netflix's Avatar The Last Airbender begins production by also adding Paul Seung-Hun Lee as Iroh. He's in Kim's Convenience. He's Appa, for those who are curious.
Leaves from the vine.
Why?
Falling so... I'm sorry.
They have Lim Kei-su as Monk Gyatso. He looked great. And Ken Leung as General Zhao.
Is Monk Gyatso Aang's teacher?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I thought.
And then Ken Leung.
I know Ken Leung. Ken Leung.
He was in Eternal, or no, Inhuman, sadly.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's a great cast. I can't wait.
Mm-hmm. Did you say General Zhao?
Yep.
Oh, so they're really doing season one.
Yeah.
General Zhao, look at me, shakes butt in the air. Ahoy, I'm... Okay, anyway.
So Harry Potter 20th anniversary, Return to Hogwarts, a retrospective special celebrating Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone's 20th anniversary, starring Daniel Radcliffe, Rupert Grint, Emma Watson, Tom Felton, Robbie Coltrane, who was Hagrid, James and Oliver Phelps, the Weasley twins, Bonnie Wright, who was Jenny, Mark Williams, who was Arthur Weasley, Gary Oldman, Sirius, of course, Matt Lewis, Neville, Ivana Lynch, Luna, Alfred Enoch, who was Dean, Imelda Staunton, who was Dolores Umbridge, and Helena Bonham Carter, Bellatrix, all return for this HBO Max special in January of 2022.
What, Alan Rickman couldn't be bothered to come back?
Oh.
Sorry.
Oh.
That's cool. I saw that ad and I didn't think, like, it didn't show when I watched the ad because it was literally just like an ad on YouTube. It didn't show the original actors were coming back to like do like a retrospective or whatever you said. But that's cool. Now that I know that, I'll watch that.
Yes. Then we have Will Ryan, the voice of Petrie in The Land Before Time, passed away at 82.
Aw, sad, sad Harold.
Petrie, no fly.
I remember The Land Before Time, though. That's very integral to my childhood.
Same. Littlefoot. Yeah, Littlefoot.
We were not ready for how that movie was going to make us feel.
Nope.
No.
Earthworm Jim, which was an old 90s show, is getting rebooted in a series called Earthworm Jim Beyond the Galaxy.
I know Earthworm Jim. Okay, that's cool. I love 90s nostalgia, even though I'm too young for that.
No, we're not.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, definitely like...
We were born on the cusp.
Yeah, it was all dying. Like, it was phasing out. Like, Hey Arnold and stuff was like
going... It bled into us.
Yeah, Cat Dog. Yeah, yeah.
Ooh. All real monsters.
Come on. Yeah, yeah.
So for video games, can't believe this is real. WB's Multiverses is a free-to-play Super Smash-inspired game featuring characters from the WB repertoire. The game features 1v1 and 2v2 and 4-player free-for-all. Characters currently confirmed for the roster are Batman, voiced by Kevin Conroy, Superman, voiced by George Newbern, Wonder Woman, voiced by Abby Trott, Harley Quinn, voiced by Tara Strong, Shaggy Rogers, voiced by Matthew Lillard, Bugs Bunny, Tom and Jerry, voiced by Eric Bauza, Ben the Human, voiced by Jeremy Shada, Jake the Dog, voiced by John DiMaggio, Steven Universe, with the voice change, going from his normal Zach Callison to Daniel Devenir. Garnet is going to stay voiced by Estelle. And Arya Stark, voiced by Maisie Williams.
That's my main. Arya Stark's going to be my main.
What are we living in?
I don't know, but this almost... I was going to say me and the guys were talking about this at school the other day. That this is like a response to the Nickelodeon game, but it's not because it came out so close.
We're getting enhanced Shaggy for starters, the meme.
I know. Super Saiyan Shaggy is confirmed.
Yeah.
It's weird that a Warner Brothers fighting game came out and they didn't have any Mortal Kombat characters, but that is a bit too violent, I guess, for them.
I just... What? Oh, and more characters to come.
I'm excited. I mean, I watched the launch trailer, and they made it seem
very... I know I'll play it. Of course I would.
They were all about post-launch content, and I'm all about that, keeping a game alive post-launch.
And it's free-to-play.
And it's free-to-play. Like I said, I want some more Game of Thrones characters, please. Arya Stark's a great character, but I could think of some better characters from Game of Thrones. I'd love the Dink. I want the Dink.
Okay, of course I want the Dink. Thinking about WB as a whole in their franchises, I could dig either being Slimer or the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
For WB?
Ghostbusters is WB.
Oh, no, it's Sony.
Are you sure?
Positive it's Sony. It's more specific, it's more specifically Columbia, but Sony owns Columbia Pictures.
Well, son of a hootenanny.
Yeah, you couldn't tell that the 2016 Ghostbusters movie was the most Sony thing to ever Sony?
Ain't that the truth? You're right. I would like Beetlejuice.
Beetlejuice would be fun. There you go. That is a good one.
Can I have Beetlejuice?
Yeah, Beetlejuice would be like a Mr. Game & Watch type of character. Just can pull anything out of his ASS.
It's true. Can I also get,
Flintstones would be cool. I'd like Fred Flintstone.
Oh, Hanna-Barbera, we need more than just Shaggy.
A Ben 10, dude. Ben 10 would be broken is all I'm saying.
How would he be broken?
Ben 10 could beat Superman in a fight if you really want to get into it right now.
Yeah, but if you just give him his normal 10 villains, you're fine.
But like, oh, could you imagine if like you can just turn into like 10 different fighting moves? Oh.
Yeah, that is true.
That'd be so fun. Who would I be? If it was the original cast, I think I'd be Accelerate just because of the name itself is phenomenal, but I love Super Speed.
I was thinking about Accelerate too.
Yeah.
What, do you add a Harry Potter character?
You do have to add a Harry Potter character, of course.
Yeah.
You gotta add King Kong.
Yeah. Who else would you add?
I don't know, because technically
Space
it's
Ghost?
who?
Space Ghost?
Space Ghost, yeah, if you wanted, like you said, Hanna-Barbera characters. I guess they're technically owned by Paramount, but I'm just thinking at the Universal. Sorry, I hit my mic. Thinking at the Universal Studios thing, if they could do Transformers, I don't know.
Yeah, but Universal is not Warner Brothers.
It's not? I thought like most of the. How'd they get Harry Potter World then?
Same way they had a Hulk ride and Transformers and all that. They own a lot of amusement park stuff that's not their movies.
I was gonna say if we're just going off the Universal Studios studio, then I want Cat in the Hat.
Yes.
And I want him voiced by Mike Myers.
But that's Universal altogether.
Yeah.
It'll be an interesting game, and I can't wait to see what other characters they add to make you go, what? Why?
Yes,
But
Ninja Turtles.
free to play, why not play it? That's
I'm.
Nickelodeon now.
Yeah, right. I'm playing it though.
We're bad at naming Warner Brothers properties.
It's so confusing. I always just assume if it's not Disney, it's WB.
Same. So yeah, let's get into the meat of this since we're already an hour in.
I would love to, and I would like to point out for our listening audience that your background for this week is the Ghostbusters logo.
Of course.
So that's what I've been staring at this whole hour. It's fantastic. Really gets me in the mood.
Not gonna say it. Okay, Ghostbusters Afterlife. What did we
A
think?
busting
Or do we
mood.
break it down a little bit first?
If you want to do non-spoilers, we can just talk about the plot, yeah, in non-spoiler ways.
So basically, after the death of Harold, Egon Spengler,
Yeah, which
his
is.
family, what?
I was going to say, which is how the movie starts, but it very smartly does not show the deceased actor who played Egon.
Correct. His daughter, who I'm blanking on her name.
Oh, it's Phoebe. The character's name is Phoebe.
No, that's the granddaughter. I'm talking
Oh,
his daughter.
I don't remember her name at all.
Anyway, his daughter and two grandchildren, Trevor and Phoebe, moved to Somerville, Oklahoma, in his old dirt farm.
Dirt, the dirt
Farm,
farm.
dirt farm house.
The dirt farm.
And they have to adjust to new life because they were getting evicted anyway.
Yes.
And so this is their home now.
For the summer.
Yeah.
Though this movie seems like it takes place over like a week.
Yes. So the kids start summer school.
One does, the other one starts a job at a diner.
Right. So Trevor, Finn Wolfhard's character, starts a job at Spinner's, a nice little retro diner, where he meets this girl he really likes named Lucky.
She was in something recently, I can't think of it.
I have never seen her in my life.
I need to look up her filmography after this, but
Did you
I
watch the movie Freaky?
yes.
She's in that.
Okay, that's definitely one of the things. But yeah, and the other one gets taught by Sexiest Man Alive 2021, Paul Rudd.
Oh yeah, Gary Gruberson.
Gary Gruberson, the just looking at Paul Rudd, I'm that's a Gary Gruberson.
Oh yeah.
And
So
he plays classic movies for his 5th grade or whatever, 7th grade, I think.
Cujo and Chucky.
Yeah, he just puts in a VHS tape every morning and goes, "All right, I'm going into my office."
But Phoebe is more entranced by his seismology map.
Yes, because Somerville has been having weird earthquakes. That makes no sense because there's no fault lines or anything. So they try to discover it.
And meanwhile, to kind of get closer to the girl he likes, Trevor ventures off to the mines where
Yes, we start here.
Gozer's minions are kind of awakened,
The all
and they
familiar
release, what was it?
Gatekeeper and Keymaster.
Yeah, but was Vince Clortho released first, or was it Zool?
Zool. Well, what got out? Well, okay. Well,
so no, they, Vince. It was Vince because that's what was at Walmart.
Well, I was gonna say they opened the trap, and one got out that the Ghostbuster that passed away, Egon.
Oh yeah, sir. We gotta go back a little.
Egon caught one of them, and then Phoebe found the trap buried in the house because it turns out, I guess we're kind of getting spoilers at this point, I'm sorry. Phoebe finds out that the house that they were staying in is haunted by Egon, and Egon's been helping Phoebe continue his work.
Yes.
And she finds the trap that he trapped either the gatekeeper or the keymaster, I don't know, you know, the two dog things.
Zool and Viggo, or Vince.
And they, Mr. Gruberson, Paul Rudd and her accidentally open the trap, not knowing that one of them is in it, lets it out. Thing goes into the mine with the other one, I guess. So now they're reunited and then they bust out. They bust out and possess Paul Rudd and the mom.
Callie.
Hey, you got it. And we get Muncher.
Yes. Yeah, so the first thing they fight is Muncher. And that's just Podcast. And yes. Phoebe, Phoebe's new friend, Podcast, who's a character that grew on me throughout the movie. I wasn't a fan at first, but then I did dig him.
I like him. You know, we love a good podcast, you know? We love podcasts.
We do.
But yeah, the thing I really, and I don't want to compare this to the 2016 one, but the thing I like about this one is this was almost like a celebration of Ghostbusters and like a Ghostbusters for the next generation. That And, like, the last one, the 2016 one, kind of, like, spat in the face of the original one.
It felt like it.
Yeah. This one was very respectful, and we'll talk about the fan service, because that is a complaint about this movie, is that it goes very fan service heavy. And I wouldn't say that until, like, the last 10 minutes. There's a huge fan service moment that surprised the heck out of me.
I still wouldn't say it's too fan service-y for the reason of it wasn't these super cinematic moments. Okay. When Trevor started to discover the Ecto-1, he pulled the tarp and you see the logo and then his flashlight dies. It's this huge whoosh. Pulling off the tarp, seeing the car.
It's similar to how they reveal the Falcon in The Force Awakens, how it's not like a big epic thing. It's just, it's treated as a piece of junk.
Yeah. And then you see him fixing it up throughout the beginning of the movie for exposition and then taking it on a joyride. Meanwhile, while he's doing the joyride, that's when Phoebe enlists the help of Podcast to catch Muncher.
I like the new tech that we saw, the little RC car that was a trap.
The RC trap? Yeah.
That was so cool.
Oh, yeah. So Paul Rudd's character, Gary, is obsessed with the original Ghostbusters and basically teaches Phoebe, hey, your grandfather was Egon Spengler, one of the original Ghostbusters.
That is a big thing in this movie, different than the 2016 one. Again, how like they acknowledge in that this is literally like the third movie, if you want to count the video game, then technically this is the fourth one. But I'm going to say the third one because I'm not going to count the video game. This is literally like part three of the Ghostbusters trilogy. This takes place in the universe.
Yeah. And it does very well at that.
Yeah. We get a little cameo from what Ghostbuster do we get that she calls when they get in prison?
So they're imprisoned after the whole joyriding thing.
And Muncher, trying to catch Muncher.
Catching Muncher and destroying the town. And this is a great line. Lucky's dad is a sheriff played by Bokeem Woodbine, who I enjoyed.
Shocker, too.
And he asks her, who are you going to call?
And yeah, that was pretty good. That was pretty good.
And she calls Ray Stantz after dialing the Ghostbusters number.
Mm-hmm.
Just like in number two, Ray Stantz is running Ray's occult books.
Yeah, and we find out what happened to the Ghostbusters after part two, why they broke up.
Yes. And they thought Egon was this crackpot scientist, when in truth, he was preparing for the apocalypse.
Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, it makes sense. If there's one of the Ghostbusters that's going to, like, think about the apocalypse and go crazy, it's Egon. He was always just, like, they were always... Oh, yeah. Catchers, but Egon was like the science maniac that was always thinking into it.
Yes. So then we have after prison, they start to dig through it more after Callie says no.
Mm-hmm. And Paul Rudd gets meets the mini Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
Oh my god, that was one of the greatest scenes.
Yeah,
that you can find on YouTube.
They were trying
were
to
roasting each other.
They were they turned on the grill and they were walking through it and melting. It was great.
Putting a piece of chocolate over one and turning a blowtorch on. Or and one, then laying on a graham cracker.
One got in a blender.
But that is led to Vince Clortho, who possesses Gary Gruberson.
Yes.
And he, I believe, he doesn't free him, but later we see Zool possess the mom.
Mm-hmm.
So this leads them to a chamber where Ivo Shandor is buried. And for those who remember, Ivo Shandor created the building in the first Ghostbusters that Dana stayed at, which became a central point for ghosts. Well, the big central point was this mining area, Shandor Mining Company. And he created basically this temple to house Gozer and Zool and Vince Clortho. They go to investigate.
When he came back to life, you know, like rose out of the casket.
Yeah.
I thought that was J.K. Simmons.
It is.
Really? That was?
Ivo Shandor was played by J.K. Simmons.
That's fantastic. I was like...
That's when I'm like, who's that? We heard the voice and we go, nah.
Literally is in it for like 2 seconds. Because Gozer just... Gozer rips him in half.
Gozer was played by Olivia Wilde, but voiced by the Doctor in X-Men Last Stand.
Oh, okay. You know what? The voice from the... Yeah. Yeah.
She's also in the Star Trek movie.
Also voices Oracle in Percy Jackson, too.
Yes.
You know what?
But to go They're, back a little bit.
Yeah.
They first discover the temple and see him sleeping, and he kind of wakes up, scaring podcast. Mm-hmm. But what I liked is you saw four of the proton blasters turn on.
Yeah, so Egon had
to
like
shove the beast back inside.
Egon had like a trap set up every single time.
I, as an audience member, thought, "Oh, this is the big reveal," and it wasn't. And I went, "Oh, thank God."
Mm-hmm.
I thought we were gonna see Venkman, Winston, Ray, all that.
Oh, you thought like the four people shooting the protons?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Because the way they set up Phoebe looking like she was gonna fall in.
Yeah.
Like, this is their big I'll save you moment.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't. I was like, oh, good, it's too soon, I felt like.
But so, Gruber gets possessed, the mom gets possessed, and then they have no other choice but to suit up in their outfits and get in the Ecto-1 and go bust some ghosts.
Yes. And as they do, they try and stop Gozer. It leads them back to their farm. Which leads in Phoebe to fight and Lucky to fight. Podcast is dealing with his own issue with the mini Stay Puft marshmallows.
One of them leaves the mom and possesses Lucky.
Yes. Which, you know, pisses off Trevor.
Yeah. I don't think they try crossing the streams. I don't think they.
No. But they didn't know any better. If they did, it makes you wonder, like, oh.
When three other guys show up and try to cross the streams.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
They flattened up.
Out of nowhere. That was great.
Ray, Stance, Peter Venkman, and Winston Zeddemore are back, baby.
You know what? I'm going to say it. I know it's the whitest thing I could ever say, but black does not crack.
Ernie Hudson looks great.
He literally doesn't look like he aged too much.
No, he doesn't. You know, he was supposed to be Black Panther in the 90s in a movie.
Would have worked in the 90s, probably.
Oh, yeah.
He probably could have played T'Chaka now.
Yeah. So, yeah. The boys returned, and it was such boys a good feeling. Returned,
they say, yeah, hey, Flat Top. That was good.
And then Peter keeps trying to, after they get their butt handed to him.
Yeah, that was a great moment.
Venkman tries to really throw her off by talking about their old past and relationship.
Yeah, well, that's his character from the original, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
That was great seeing the two generations of Ghostbusters team up together, though, at the end.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But then it wasn't just that. As Phoebe kept trying to save them, the ghost of Egon Spengler came.
Yeah, and held the proton. He looked pretty good, digitally inserted. You know, it's a tragedy what happened to him. How long ago was that? Like, a while ago.
He's been dead for some time.
Yeah.
It was sad.
It was sad, but it was
like a good sad.
It was a great moment. It was great because the mom never had closure with her dad.
And she got it.
Yeah, and she found out that he always wanted to be back with her, but he just couldn't.
2014 is when he died.
Okay, so it's been like 7 years.
I thought it was sooner than that. Oh, well.
Yeah.
It was a beautiful moment. I started to tear up a little, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, they all defeat
him. They stand side by side with his Ghostbusters.
Mm-hmm. They all just nod at him.
Well, at first there's hey, bro.
Yeah. It makes sense. I mean, I guess that's why it's called Ghostbusters Afterlife.
Yeah. They stop the apocalypse, trap Gozer once more. Well, destroy Gozer.
Yeah, the mini Stay Puft Marshmallow Men explode all over podcasts, and we get that classic look of Ray. Wasn't Ray the one covered in all of the marshmallow stuff at the end of the first one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Ray's a big fan of his podcast.
Ray's his one subscriber.
Yeah. Seeing Winston reunite with the car.
Yeah. He takes it at the end, doesn't he?
Yeah, the after credit scenes.
Yeah, he says, I'm going to fix you up.
And Peter's just like, all right, let's go in and get some cocoa.
And then we get that classic theme at the end that they held back on literally until the end of the movie. They did not play the Ghostbusters theme.
And it was for like a post-credits sequence.
Yeah.
The original theme plays. We're back in New York where we see Dana Venkman. She's credited as Venkman.
Oh, so.
They're married.
Wait, I didn't stay for the post-credits scene. What's her name? Returns?
Mm-hmm.
Why can't I think of her name? She was
Sigourney Weaver.
Sigourney Weaver returns? Oh my gosh.
She's married to Peter and they're doing the electrical test with the cards.
I could never figure they would have gotten married because he was a creep to her.
Yeah, it was an on and off again thing.
That's true. Well, I mean, I guess she was trying to throw herself onto him when she was the key master and he still said, whoa there, you know, you're not really sober. Yeah. So good, you know, I guess he's not a terrible person.
So, yeah, they're doing the test that he did at the beginning of the first Ghostbusters.
Mm-hmm.
And he was getting all of them right. And he goes, you know, I never told anybody this, but I only shocked the men. How are you getting... Are these marked? Are these cards marked? Him? Yeah. So she starts shocking him.
I need to rewatch it.
It was a cute little moment.
I'd spent so long since I've seen the original.
Oh, such a cute moment.
Yeah.
And then you go even further, and you see that Winston Zeddemore brought the car back to the Ghostbusters tower, the firehouse.
Mm-hmm.
It has not been turned into a Starbucks.
That is good.
Winston's owned it this entire time because he's a rich
man. Yeah, he was the only one that ended up great from the original team.
He's talking to Janine Melnitz, who we saw at the beginning, giving up the property.
Mm-hmm.
And they're talking about how much the Ghostbusters meant to him, how those boys are still everything to him, and the Ghostbusters are not dead.
That was it's literally the director's son making this, so it was total celebration. It was a celebration of the original.
It's next generation all the way around.
This is totally like, I was going to say for like a younger generation, but even for us, this is like a Ghostbusters for our generation, because obviously we were not even... born in the, I'm totally fine that this is the third part in the Ghostbusters trilogy.
So here's what I want to see going forward.
Mm-hmm.
This movie was amazing. Easily my favorite movie of this year.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Wow.
Or second favorite.
Yeah.
Second. There's not been a lot of amazing movies that I've seen this year.
Yeah. I'm excited to do our top movies of 2021 list later.
The wrap up.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah. Going forward, you know what I want to see next?
Girl Ghostbusters Return.
No, I'd rather slit my throat.
The real Ghostbusters with the gorilla.
No. I didn't think about the Hanna-Barbera cartoon.
Yeah,
I wish I did.
The gorilla needs to show up. Anyway, what do you want to see? I'm sorry.
Extreme Ghostbusters led by Winston.
Oh, okay.
I love that show. I think it'd be a great way to do this.
Mm-hmm.
With the help of Janine and Winston instead of Egon.
Yeah.
And then you could still have What's-Her-Face, the main character, be working at Raise a Cult Books like she does.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't be hard.
No, yeah.
Kylie Griffin. So, yeah, I mean, that's how it is in the IDW comics, and she works at the bookstore.
Yeah, IDW has some great Ghostbuster comics.
Yes. So, really build up, but instead of Egon, obviously, build up the Extreme Ghostbusters with them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the reason I also want to see this is I just want to see Garrett Miller.
Yeah.
My crippled Ghostbuster.
Your crippled Ghostbuster.
So, yeah. Go forward with that. I don't know if we need to see this new group again.
If it does well, I'm sure they will.
All the sequel jokes, or not jokes, but hinting was in New York, not Somerville.
Yeah.
Because then the light flashed and you could tell that the ghost thing was open again.
I'd like to see them go back to New York if they go again. Even though I like a small town vibe, I think Ghostbusters works better in New York.
It does, but it did work really well in this small town.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I could state the obvious and say we got some Stranger Things vibes from this movie, and that's okay.
I actually didn't.
I did, you know, Stranger Things is a homage to Ghostbusters and just movies from the 80s in general, so.
I think this did really well standing on its own while still feeling like Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
I loved it.
I
will say, the thing that let it down for me was I was not a big fan of the actress who played Lucky.
Okay, yeah. I mean,
she didn't do much for me.
As much as I love Finn Wolfhard, like,
I don't think he did well in this either.
Right, I literally think this was carried by Phoebe.
Phoebe and Podcast, sadly.
Phoebe, Podcast, and I think Paul Rudd could just do this by themselves.
When it came to the teenagers, it just felt like this really bad indie movie vibe.
Yeah, they just needed some more members on the team.
Not more members. They needed more characteristics given. Given to the teens.
I mean, like, the only reason they were in the movie is because they needed more members on the team.
Yeah. But it's not like I disliked. I didn't think, for me, Lucky, the character was cool. The actress struggled for me.
Okay.
Find a different actress to play Lucky for me, and you're good. As long as she's good.
I think just giving that, because that was obviously the secondary plot, making that secondary plot more interesting.
Yes. Giving those teenagers something more.
Yeah, because like you said, it
I
just...
I did like seeing Finn... Oh, go ahead.
It's every single time it cut to them, it felt like a different movie.
It did. Different vibe and tone and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for me, what I did like about Finn Wolfhard was seeing him stumble around.
Yeah.
All nervous with the girl.
Yeah, that was very realistic.
It was great. But going forward, I want to see Extreme Ghostbusters adapted.
Mm-hmm.
For a trilogy, that would just be so fun. And it hits all the diversity notes you want.
Right.
Handicap, Hispanic, African-American, female lead.
Yeah, I'd love to see, like you said, I'd love to see a school of Ghostbusters.
A school?
Yeah, like the next gen, like a training class of Ghostbusters, I'd like to see.
In the IDW comics that I really like is they created a thing called Ghost Corps. Egon brought on these kids for Extreme Ghostbusters, and they didn't train them, but it was just kind of like a hodgepodge.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think it'd be cool if, like, Ghost came back and it was, like, a more regular thing and, like, they needed to recruit more people.
That's what I think Extreme should be, but I don't know about a school.
Yeah.
I feel like if you made it the school franchise thing, it might ruin it a little bit.
Like, I just meant, like they're trainees. I don't know.
I get what you're saying. Yeah, that's what Extreme Ghostbusters would be, though, is these trainees learning the ropes, being mentored by Winston. So kind of what you're saying still.
Yeah. Sony loves to capitalize on big budget. If this movie makes money, they'll definitely make a follow-up, so.
And you got to keep Jason Reitman at this point.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He understands Ghostbusters.
He is Ghostbusters with his dad.
So, yeah. No, I'm sure he'd love to make another.
Oh, yeah. So, with that said, I would give this movie a 8.5 to 9 out of 10.
Yeah, I'd give it a solid 8 out of 10 myself.
It wasn't perfect. It had its flaws, and I had a couple issues with it, but it was still beautifully done.
Yeah, packed theater for me, man. I went on a freaking Saturday at like 4 in the afternoon, and there was not a single empty seat.
Ours was pretty empty. Mm-hmm. We drove about an hour away to go see it. But it's just not sure how busy that theater gets.
Okay.
Still learning the ropes here in Florida.
Right, you know, Muncie, Indiana. You know how it is in Muncie. It's grimy.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You know, the drug capital.
So, I have a question for you.
Yes.
Who is your favorite Ghostbuster member?
From the original team or from this new one?
Both. Let's do one of each.
My favorite member of the original team is definitely Bill Murray's character, obviously, because he's...
Bankman?
Yeah, because, like, he's not really good at anything. Like, he's...
No.
Like, everyone else, like, has a point on the team. Like, there's...
He's the businessman of it.
Yeah. And then from this new team, I think Podcast definitely grew on me, so I think Podcast.
For me, the old team, I gotta go with Winston.
Mm-hmm.
Winston or Ray?
Yeah.
I love both of them. From this new team, it's Phoebe.
Okay, yeah.
I've yet to dislike McKenna Grace in anything she's in. She's a
phenomenal actress.
She is. She's amazing.
Mm.
Got a favorite ghost that you've seen?
I like the Gatekeeper and Keymaster a lot. I think they're, and I think they kept them practical in this movie, which I really liked.
It was a good mix of CG and practical. Yeah.
Like the running scenes were like where they were moving were definitely.
Yeah.
But like when they were standing there, I was like, I think that's a puppet.
It looked like it.
Yeah. I like Gozer because Gozer looks like Prince.
That was Olivia Wilde.
I know Olivia Wilde, but I'm saying like the look with the hair and like the they, them, you know, they're pretty woke. They're it's genderless.
Wasn't they, them, though?
It was, well, it's non, it's a.
No, they just said it was genderless because it's an entity.
Yeah, well, that's.
No pronouns.
That's what I mean. Like, it literally just isn't, it doesn't look like a guy or girl. It just looks like a god.
Yeah, so I wouldn't consider it a, like, a woke thing. Because it's an entity. It's not like a person. And if it's not a person, not even gender. I'm
trying to go LGBTQ on you, Will. I was just.
I'm just saying, I think there's a small difference. And then for me, it's Slimer's too classic to say otherwise.
Yeah, he has a great look. They, you know, he's definitely a classic looking ghost.
He even got his own show for a little bit.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's also a Mrs. Slimer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so what is your favorite Ghostbusters movie out of these three?
The original.
Same. Ghostbusters 1 is too good.
Video game. No. The first one. Yeah.
Now, I will say, outside of Slimer, I really dug Viggo the Carpathian from number 2.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they bring in some cool ghosts in part 2.
Oh, yeah.
Statue of Liberty.
Yeah. So, the one thing I kind of want to get into is, like, the slew of shows they had, the cartoons. Mm-hmm. They also had the real Ghostbusters, which was it followed the original team on their own ghost-busting adventures in a cartoon form.
Yeah.
Then you had Extreme Ghostbusters, or Slimer, which focused more on Slimer as a mascot with Janine Monáe more than anything, and Egon.
I don't know much anything about that.
Yeah. And then you had Extreme Ghostbusters, where Egon and Janine took on these college students, Kylie Griffin, Roland Jackson, Eduardo Rivera, and Garrett Miller, and trained them to be the next generation of Ghostbusters.
Mm-hmm.
It had this very 90s punk vibe, punk rock, and it was pretty cool.
I need to, okay, if you say it's cool, I'll give it a shot.
It's on YouTube. The Ghostbusters YouTube account
posts
episodes of their cartoons.
Okay, if it's worth a watch, I'll give it a watch.
But then I love the IDW comics as well. They do great expanding upon the world.
They even,
really staying true.
They brought in the girl Ghostbusters.
But did them well.
Mm-hmm.
So to wrap up, what are your recommendations for this week? Film, TV, movie. They don't even have to be Ghostbusters related.
Film,
TV, book.
Film, TV, book. Film is an obvious one. It's probably Tick, Tick, Boom because everyone's been talking about it. I need to watch it.
Oh, I still want to watch it, but I got kids around.
Yeah. My friend Camden texted me the other day and he was like, Andrew Garfield can sing. He's amazing. I go, okay, okay. If you say it's cool, man, I'm going to watch it. But I've been meaning to watch it. Also, I am also on a musical craze in general, so I think I'm going to get to Greatest Showman here soon.
Ooh.
Yeah, yeah. TV show? I'm binging Suite Life on Deck right now.
Yeah.
And comic book, I'm probably going to go to the comic book store here tomorrow. So TBD, TBA, I mean, sorry, to be announced, honestly. If you have anything to think of, I don't know, I might pick up a Spider-Man book because we're in Spider-Man month right now. Or I might pick up, if they have it, I might pick up My Life as a Weapon.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah, so if they have it, I'll definitely grab that.
So for movie, Red Notice was pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
Cheesy, but good.
I watched like 5 minutes of that. I need to finish it.
And then Ghostbusters 1, of course.
Mm-hmm.
For show, I think I just started binging Cowboy Bebop, which is good.
Oh, the new one?
No, the cartoon.
Oh, the anime. What's it on? Your cartoon
Funimation.
Website? Funimation.
It's on Netflix, though, too.
Okay. Well, I hear the new one's not good.
The original's on Netflix as well.
Okay.
It's just if you like watching with subtitles like me, they don't match up. So I went to Funimation.
You and your brother. You love subtitles.
Yep.
Yep.
And then also Extreme Ghostbusters.
Mm-hmm.
And then for book, I've been starting the Nightcrawler miniseries. I read number one last night from the 90s.
I didn't know he had a miniseries.
I didn't either. I found out and I was like, yes.
Oh, yeah. You love you some Nightcrawler.
I do. And then Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles / Ghostbusters.
Oh, yeah. I forgot they crossed over.
It's honestly a great book.
Okay. Yeah. That's awesome.
So next week, we will be focusing on Hawkeye.
Yeah. The first two episodes drop for us tonight.
Tomorrow when I wake up, it's 3 a.m. for us, man.
Tomorrow when we wake up, I cannot wait. It's going to get me in the holiday mood, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to binge it. I don't know about you, but I already started that new Hitmonkey.
Oh, yeah. My darn roommate who doesn't give a crap about comic books watched it, and he said it's pretty good.
Nice. So yeah. I'll be watching Hitmonkey as well, and we're going to talk a little bit about that.
Okay, cool.
Well, I'm going to say me for now, and if you choose to watch it.
All right. Definitely. I definitely will if you say I should watch it.
I have no opinion yet.
Oh, well, you know, if you text me after you watch an episode and be like, Harry, watch it.
Yes.
Okay.
So those will be our big topics for next week. Yeah. As always, stay geeky.
Thanks for listening, guys.